It's 6 past 12 and 77 degrees in Santa Fe as At Noon continues from KSFR News on Thursday, May 23rd. Coming up this hour, we'll listen in as President Obama speaks on drone attacks and on Guantanamo. Locally, a Japanese-Canadian consortium says it had plans to create a uranium mine in west-central New Mexico, the largest in the country. Yet another study has come out giving New Mexico a poor grade for dealing with its population. And a most unusual musical introduction for the mayor of San Antonio as he speaks to community college graduates.
El hombre pensando. Les presento Julian Castro.
I'm Bill Dupuy, back with those stories, 60 Seconds with Christopher Hagen, and more after headlines.
Santa Fe Community College has graduated its largest class ever. More than 700 students got degrees and trade certificates in ceremonies at the college yesterday. The event was marked by San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro, who made the commencement address. Castro is well known to college president Ana Guzman, who came to Santa Fe from San Antonio last fall. Castro came to national prominence last September when he became the first Latino to deliver a keynote address at the Democratic National Convention. Santa Fe police are seeking assistance from anyone who may have witnessed a fatal hit and run along St. Francis Drive early this morning. Santa Fe Police Public Information Officer Selena Westerveld gives KSFR some of the details.
At 3 o'clock this morning, our officers were dispatched to the 1500 block of St. Francis Drive. Upon arrival, we found a male victim dead. There was quite a bit of debris in the road that we're using as clues to piece back to a suspect vehicle, so we're looking for leads there. The Office of the Medical Investigator was called out around 6:30 this morning to see if they can help us identify this man. We believe he was a pedestrian just walking in the road when somebody hit him.
Westerveld also told us the victim had many chest tattoos. Anyone with information should contact the Regional Emergency Communications Center at 428-3710. The fate of a popular restaurant in Lamy may not be known until this weekend. The board of directors of the Lamy Railroad and History Museum has scheduled a special meeting tomorrow to debate whether the legal tender restaurant should be closed. The museum's founder and the museum's president have both called for the restaurant to shut down operations. The New Mexican reports that the operators of the restaurant wanted to put a cap on the amount of money they pay to the museum. The Department of Workforce Solutions says federal sequester cuts will affect New Mexicans applying for the Emergency Unemployment Compensation Program as of June 2nd. Weekly benefits will be cut by 25%, with the department estimating initial impacts to some 2,100 individuals filing next month. The cuts affect the 28 weeks of federal benefits known as Tiers 1 and 2 that follow the state's maximum allotment of 26 weeks of regular unemployment benefits. New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez has been named to a National Governors Association Task Force panel on health care. A report by KOB Television says the job of the panel is to consider how states can improve the delivery of quality health care while controlling the costs of Medicaid. This afternoon at Santa Fe City Hall, Eric Litzenberg, Assistant Fire Chief of the Santa Fe Fire Department, will be sworn in as the replacement for retiring Chief Barbara Salas. She steps down as of May 31st and will be given the department's traditional last ride home on that day. Assistant Chief Jan Snyder will be the new Public Information Officer for the department, with Paul Babcock as Chief of Operations. Real estate data clearinghouse CoreLogic says today that both foreclosures and mortgage delinquencies are on the decline in Santa Fe. The numbers reference March of this year versus 2012. Foreclosures are at 2.89%, a decline of almost half a percentage point. Delinquencies decreased a third of a percentage point, now with just 4.98% of all loans 90 or more days in arrears. CoreLogic notes that Santa Fe's foreclosure rate remains slightly higher than the national average. Ahead of Monday's Memorial Day observance, the Santa Fe National Cemetery has put out a call for volunteers. Starting at 9 a.m. tomorrow, some 37,000 flags will be placed at gravesites. Volunteers will also be removing same on Tuesday, May 28th. Interested parties are asked to call the cemetery at 988-6400. Memorial Day commemorates all American military members who have died in all wars. New Mexico National Guard Brigadier General Andrew Salas will be the keynote speaker at the cemetery's Monday services. Firefighters have contained a fire near Silver City after it burned through nearly 200 acres of brush. Meanwhile, the irrigation agency that serves farmers in mid-New Mexico has closed the part of the Rio Grande Bosque it controls. The Middle Rio Grande Conservancy District says the closure affects the bosque along 150 miles of river in three counties. An elementary school in Los Alamos was severely damaged by a freak wind event Wednesday afternoon. Barranca Mesa Elementary School will be closed for repairs until next Tuesday. Most of the students had already left the campus, and there were no injuries to those who were still there. At approximately 1:30 p.m., sudden wind gusts ripped the roof off the school's gym, scattering debris over a wide area. Witnesses say it was all over and done with in just 2 minutes. Weather for Santa Fe, mostly sunny today and through the Memorial Day weekend. Highs near 80 with overnight lows in the low 50s. Both tomorrow and Saturday sees a very slight chance for an afternoon thundershower. For KSFR News, this is Dan Garrity.
Financial markets have pared their losses from earlier today. The Dow Jones is down just 7 points at 15,300. It's 12:13 on at noon from KSFR News. Coming up, we'll listen in on part of what President Obama is saying right now about drones and Guantanamo Bay detention camp. Locally, a uranium mine has sat idle near Taylor Mountain just outside Grants, New Mexico for years. And it's just as it was when the operators shut it down without cleaning it up. Now comes word that those operators might like to restart it and start mining for uranium once again. At the same time, a consortium of Japanese and Canadians have visited the state and say they plan to apply for a permit to open another uranium mine on federal lands in the same area. They say it would be the largest uranium mine in the nation. Eric Jantz with the New Mexico Environmental Law Center has been following both developments and told me about this latest announcement and what's happened with that older plant.
There's an existing mine in Grants or near Grants called the Mount Taylor Mine. It's run by General Atomics, a subsidiary of General Atomics. And it's been lying dormant. It's been festering for the last 20 years or so on standby status. So in other words, it hasn't been producing any uranium, but at the same time, it hasn't been reclaimed. So there are waste piles and waste ponds sitting out unreclaimed now. Recently, the operator has indicated that it wants to go onto active status, despite the fact that there's no market for uranium. Currently, domestically or internationally, and there's only one place in the U.S. where they can mill their ore. In any event, we, our clients, the Multicultural Alliance for a Safe Environment, has asked for a public hearing on that revision of its permit from standby status to active status.
You say there's no market for uranium. Why then would Japan and Canada want to establish the biggest mine ever in New Mexico?
Well, that's an interesting question, and one that I'm not sure I have the answer to. I mean, I don't know what these folks are thinking. The hype in the uranium producing circles is that there's going to be a nuclear renaissance. But I mean, the fact of the matter is that the nuclear industry, including the uranium mining industry, has been touting a nuclear renaissance for the last 5 to 7 years. And one hasn't appeared. In fact, the demand for uranium is falling based on the problems at Fukushima a couple of years ago.
Do I understand? Do I understand correctly that the U.S. produces only less than 10% of the uranium used in U.S. nuclear plants?
That's correct. The fact of the matter is that U.S. isn't a major producer of uranium anymore. Kazakhstan, Canada, Australia are the big producers, and that's largely because those places have established mines. The mines didn't shut down when the market crashed back in the mid-'80s.
Well, here we have a potential for the U.S. not producing enough to cover its own nuclear power plants. Mm-hmm. It does suggest, doesn't it, that there is a market in the U.S.?
Well, not really, because, as I said, the demand for nuclear is diminishing. There are reactors going offline regularly now in the U.S. Florida Power and Light, who had a nuclear power plant in the works, has decided not to go forward with that plant in Florida. The San Onofre plant in San Diego is undergoing some real technical problems and looks like it will shut down. At least one of the reactors there is shut down. And there are reactors going offline because of age regularly now. So the demand is falling and will continue to fall as it becomes clear that nuclear isn't a very good energy option, just basically because it's not economical. There's no private investment in nuclear anymore. That's why places like China and Russia are seen as the future of nuclear industry, because those are state-supported nuclear power countries.
Well, we're talking about two situations. One, a potential for a brand new mine. That would be that largest ever somewhere near Mount Taylor.
Right.
We're talking about the existing mine that you're asking for them to clean up, in essence. Is there any danger to people from the waste pile up now at that existing mine and near Grants?
Well, there's already groundwater contamination from that mine. So the risk is there. And frankly, it seems that the only money associated with uranium mining anymore is cleanup of legacy waste. And that's where our clients believe that resources should be put, in cleaning things up. That produces incomes for counties and the state, not new uranium mining.
Okay, we'll follow it very closely. Eric Jantz, many thanks.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Bill.
12:19 on At Noon. Yet another study has come out giving New Mexico a poor grade for dealing with its population. It's from the nonprofit group Wider Opportunities for Women. The study suggests that New Mexico's economic security policies, a great number of policies, in fact, are not preventing residents from falling through the cracks into poverty. And it doesn't have to do with just the amount of money people earn. The author of the study for the group is Sean McMahon and joins us on the line. Tell us how New Mexico got to be ranked with a grade of C-, right in the middle of the pack.
Well, New Mexico, as you mentioned, was ranked in the middle of the pack. And it has in common with a lot of other states the fact that its economic security-related policies don't necessarily all work together to promote security. So it received on individual policies a wide range of grades. Some were actually A's and some were actually F's. But when you average the 80-plus policies that we looked at together, its grade comes out to be in the middle of the pack. It did a pretty good job in some specific areas.
Can you identify what some of them are?
Among the different general categories of security, New Mexico did best in the assets and savings category. This is partly due to the fact that New Mexico has been removing eligibility limits for assets for some of its public supports programs, such as Medicaid. In the past, the Medicaid eligibility was limited to those who had as few as $2,000 in assets. And removing those types of limits has helped people at the bottom of the economic spectrum quite a bit. Also, New Mexico has moved to pass laws that protect consumers or potential homeowners. The worst grade for New Mexico comes in the general category of job quality. And the issue there is a lack of legislation that provides sick and safe days to workers or other legislation that extends family leave or makes more workers have more access to unemployment insurance. And also, New Mexico suffered a bit when we looked at the amount of unemployment insurance it supplies relative to the wages that people earn while they're employed.
So you're looking at a great deal more than just how much money a family earns to stay alive.
Absolutely. This scorecard really isn't about a lot of the family or broader economic indicators that other scorecards look at. We're not looking at the amount of income that people have. We are not looking at the amount of assets or savings that people actually have. We're looking at the actual policies that underlie and create a lot of these statistics that we often see in the news.
And those policies would bolster an overall economic security, not just a financial annual earnings security.
Right, exactly. So one of the main outcomes of the study is the point that improving one of these areas alone is often very helpful, but that improvement can often be undermined by weaknesses in other policies. For example, if a state passes its own minimum wage laws, that can really help those who are earning low wages. But if it doesn't pass in a minimum wage update law, which updates or increases the minimum wage periodically, or if there's no regulation saying that workers should have at least one, two, or three sick days in a year, that sort of thing can really impact people's abilities to hold on to their jobs or to simply feed their families.
Now, in terms of your study, what do you plan to do with it? You've notified the state, you've notified us. What is an ultimate goal? How do you get things improved?
Well, this scorecard is meant to be something of a blueprint. So legislators, advocates, citizens, it's really their job there in New Mexico to figure out what their priorities are. One way to do it is look at the categories and policies in which the state received good grades and then make sure that there's nothing out there that's in any way undermining those otherwise good policies. And on the other hand, you want to look at the places where New Mexico scored worst. So there are certainly some issues, it looks like, when we look at the grades in terms of the job quality that I mentioned before. New Mexico also didn't do so well in the education and training category. And we know, of course, that things like education and training are seminal. If people don't receive those, then down the line they're likely to need much more support from the state and much stronger policies in the income area or the public assistance area, et cetera. So it's really something that can be locally determined, but people have to look at economic security as a whole and stop looking at just one policy at a time.
So there's a great deal of work to be done, not only in New Mexico, but elsewhere as well.
That's true. We found that there's a lot of good attention around the country, but a lot of states were in that C minus to C plus range because they're in the same boat. Every state has its strengths and its weaknesses, but there are very few states that are putting it all together.
Very interesting indeed. Sean McMahon, many thanks.
Thank you.
12:26 on at noon. We've been reporting that Santa Fe Community College has graduated its largest class ever. 700 students, actually 700 plus students, getting two-year degrees or trade certificates. That's about 200 more than last year. The commencement speaker was the mayor of San Antonio. Julian Castro is the youngest mayor of the 50 largest cities in the nation, and at this commencement, he got an unusual musical introduction from Community College chairman and entertainer Chris Abeta.
Con la riqueza de mi corazón, el hombre pensando. El hombre pensando. Les presento Julián Castro.
First of all, thank you so much. Muchísimas gracias to Chairman Abeta for that wonderful introduction. Thank you very much for your song. I can't say that I've ever been introduced that way before. Commencement is such a special moment in all of our lives. Even though commencement often seems like an ending, because in a very real way it is, your time here at Santa Fe Community College is coming to an end, the word actually means a beginning. This is the beginning of another important phase in your life. I've had the opportunity now to serve as mayor of San Antonio for 4 years. And a couple of months after I got elected, I had a meeting with a woman about I don't know what anymore. And toward the end of our meeting, the woman gave me a little bag, and in the bag was a prayer card. And I opened it up and I looked at the prayer card, and the prayer card was for the Saint Thomas More. And I didn't know it at the time, but Thomas More is actually the patron saint of lawyers and politicians. That's true. And she said, oh, I wanted to give you this prayer card for the journey that you're starting here as mayor. And I thanked her for it. And then right as she was about to leave, she turned around and she said, you know, he was beheaded. That's true also. Seize the opportunities that you have to meet your goals and to change the world, to do things that will make the people who sacrificed for you in life so proud.
San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro speaking to the Santa Fe Community College graduating class on At Noon from KSFR News. Right now, we've got the old curmudgeon for a minute.
For me, this 60 seconds is going to seem kind of like going to confession, or what I imagine confession to be like. First off, I am not a hoarder. That was hoarder with a D and not a W. That said, I do hang on to things a little longer than I should. I have more things and stuff than I need, but I am not, I repeat, a hoarder with a D, not a W. That's one confession. The other confession is that once in a while I will buy O, the Oprah magazine. The last copy I bought was the March 2013 issue with the feature story, Declutter Your Life. I'm a sucker for articles like that. Recently, I was going through a pile of old publications, and there was a magazine. It was O, with the featured story, Declutter Your Life. It was from March 2011. I had never read it. Hi, my name's Christopher, and I'm a hoarder. That's with a D, not a W. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.